remind ourselves of the story by turning to Matthew 28. You might have a church Bible, you might have your own, you might have it on a phone. If you've got none of them, it will be on the screen behind me. So Matthew 28. It's entitled, bit of a spoiler, The Resurrection, or Jesus Has Risen. And we're going to read from verses 1 to verse 10. After the Sabbath, at dawn, on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to look at the tomb. And there was a violent earthquake, for an angel of the Lord came down from heaven and, going to the tomb, rolled back the stone and sat on it. His appearance was like lightning. His clothes were white as snow. The guards were so afraid of him that they shook and became like dead men. And the angel said to the woman, "Do not be afraid. I know that you're looking for Jesus, who was crucified. He is not here. He has risen, just as he said. Come and see the place where he lay. And then go quickly and tell his disciples, he has risen from the dead, and he's going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him. Now I've told you." So the women hurried away from the tomb, afraid yet filled with joy. I love that reality. They're afraid yet filled with joy. They ran to tell the disciples. Suddenly Jesus met them. "Greetings," he said. They came to him, clasped his feet, and worshipped him. Jesus said to them, "Do not be afraid. Do not be afraid. Go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee, and there they will see me." So, Lord Jesus, we submit ourselves to this story this morning. We want to learn more about you, in Jesus' mighty name. So come, Holy Spirit. Amen. I don't know if any of you remember this from a couple of years ago. Just need to find my drink, sorry. And feel free, if you've got a bit of a tickly, there's a sore throat going around, there's tea and coffee available. So if you want to go and get a drink to sort your throat out, feel free to stand up and go and get one. That's cool. Anyone remember this? Combining my two favourite things in life, Jesus and Greggs, kind of in some holy, almost Trinitarian-like thing. We just need one other thing. Costa, there you go. Costa, Greggs and Jesus put together. There was a big outcry a few years ago. Greggs did this. It was part of their Christmas campaign. And some Christians got, understandably, a bit annoyed. I thought it was great. It gave me some sermon illustrations for a couple of years at least. And I'm also aware that sausage roll backwards, phonetically, is Lord Jesus, kind of. If you say sausage roll backwards, think of the word sausage roll, and then say it backwards, it's Lord Jesus, kind of. We get there. I don't know. So the Lord had a plan. It's true. I've written it out. Sausage roll. It is true. More recently, and a bit more out of orderly, we had this from Tesco's. Great offers on beer and cider. Good Friday just got better. I mean, how can you? I don't know who on their marketing campaign thought that was a good idea. There was quite a lot of understandable, not outrage from Christians, but Christians saying, oh, Good Friday, do you know what that's about? And I was chatting about this week, and some people were saying how they could remember that actually on Good Friday, the alcohol in shops was closed and you couldn't buy it. Tesco's missing the point. Every year, there seems to be something that happens where us Christians, if we want to, can get a bit antsy about it. This year, it was Iceland, not the country, the supermarket. I was more annoyed at the fact that I couldn't find any when I went to Aldridge and Lichfield, Iceland, as part of this sermon. I was going to produce them and show you, but they are real. This is what the CEO of Iceland said. According to research, it seems some people want to do away with the cross design and move to a tick instead. The result surprised us, but in true British fashion, we're putting it to the test by trialing ticks on some of our buns. Any of you try one this year? Anyone find one? No, I wonder if they actually made them at all. I wonder if it was just a cynical marketing ploy to get famous. And I don't know what you think about that. I mean, to be honest, I don't really like hot cross buns anyway. So on their own, they're vaguely offensive. And then, so a tick or a cross doesn't really bother me that much. But for some of us, I understand that we might be thinking, who do Iceland think they are that they can remove the cross at Easter and put a tick instead? But what I want to say this morning briefly is I think Iceland have actually done a bit of theological reflection behind their hot cross buns. I think there's more to the tick for Easter than we might want to give the CEO of Iceland credit for. I used to be a teacher and I used to tick and cross work when I did marking, which wasn't very often because I was a secondary school teacher. So I used to forget to do it. But when I did have to go through and mark the work, Ofsted are coming, do your job, okay. I'd go through and you'd mark some work properly and you'd read it. And then other work that was just maybe a diagram, you'd flick it or you'd cross it. And a flick would mean, a tick would mean you finished it and it's right. That's what I would tick work for. And many of you I know are teachers or whatever, or think back to school, you got a tick when your work was done. You got a tick when the work was finished, and you got a tick when it was completed. If it was incomplete, you'd have to stay in at playtime and finish it off. And actually, what do we remember at Easter? We remember that Jesus does lots of things. And two of the things he does is say on the cross, it is finished. It is complete. It is done. And the other thing we remember in our reading today is this, that Jesus keeps his word. Matthew 28, he is risen just as he said. He's correct. He's right. He does what he says. Tick. And so actually, this morning, I think Iceland have done a pretty good job of reminding us about Easter. And we do this every day. I want you to, over the next few days, every time you tick something off or whatever, it might be on your phone now as you click it, but every time you tick something off your to-do list, every time you have to do one of those annoying things on the internet to prove you're not a robot, yeah? You have to move. Show me where the bikes are. There aren't any bikes in the picture. Tick, 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 tick. And then the other one, how many buses are there? It's ridiculous. But that's like the modern day tick, isn't it? And when it's finished and when you've done it correctly, you move on. And I wonder if there's something for that for us this morning. So we celebrate this morning two things that Iceland have reminded about. Jesus is faithful. Tick. He's true. He does what he says. And secondly, tick. It is finished. The work is complete. So number one, Jesus' words are true. Matthew 28:5. The angel says to the woman, do not be afraid. I know you're looking for Jesus. He was crucified. He's not here. He has risen just as he said. Truth comes up a lot in the Easter story. Those of us that have been here over the last few weeks, we've been working our way through the cast of the crucifixion. And we might remember Judas's betrayal to the temple authorities. For Judas, what was truth? He wasn't truthful. He didn't have integrity. We think about Peter in the courtyard. Do you know that man? You've got an accent that tells me you sound like you're from where he is. No, no, no. I don't know him. Three times Peter lies. Pilate's wonderful line in John 18:38. What is truth? Says Pilate. Jesus says, I am the truth. Pilate says, what is truth? And here in the Easter story, truth comes up again. Jesus saying, I am truth. My word is reliable. And yet we live in a world, don't we, where truth is this wibbly wobbly thing. You have your truth. That's cool. Good for you. I have my truth. And they might be totally different, but that's okay. We've all got our own truth. Quite a modern, postmodern way of thinking, really. But actually, I think the Bible tells us that the truth is absolute. There is truth and there's not truth. We have celebrated today four people being baptized to follow Jesus. Not to follow whoever they want to feel like following, but to follow Jesus, the way, the truth, and the life, because he is Lord and God. Truth matters. So Pilate says, what is truth? And we can think of that question ourselves, can't we? What is truth? Well, Paul tells us somewhere else in the Bible, here's a trustworthy saying that deserves full acceptance. Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners. And Paul says, of whom I am the worst. But for that reason, I was shown mercy so that in me, the worst of sinners, Jesus might show his patience. Here's Paul. Paul had a history of torturing people who were Christians, of killing them. persecuting them, and he speaks of the mercy and grace that he found. I wasn't quite as bad as Paul before I was a Christian. I didn't kill anyone, but my lifestyle didn't really reflect Christian virtues. I was a bit of a typical lad growing up, trying to find truth in different things, trying to find truth in as many different members of the opposite sex as I could lay my hands on, trying to find truth in doing a bit of smoking, a bit of drinking, going out and all that stuff. And in the end, for me, it was this realization that actually there's one truth and his name is Jesus. And you can almost imagine the conversation, can't you? Imagine behind me, you've got Pilate and you've got Paul. Pilate's here going, what is truth? What is truth? And Paul says, aha. Obviously, Pilate and Paul probably never met. We don't know. But Paul jumps up and goes, well, here's a trustworthy saying. Let me throw my two penneth in. Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners. I wonder if when Pilate said to Jesus, what is truth? If Jesus' mind went back to what he said in John 14, when Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. The irony here, when Pilate said, what is truth, is that he was looking at him in the face. And this morning, we're here to worship Jesus, aren't we? The truth, the way, the truth, and the life. And I don't know where you are with Jesus this morning. I don't know where you are with truth, this kind of thing. But actually, as Christians, we believe Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. There's no other way to eternal life but him. So firstly, Jesus, tick, what he says is true. He's the truth speaker who is truth. He's the truth speaker who is truth. Finally, tick, he's finished the work. There's no more that we have to do. It's not like Jesus has done most of the work, but we just have to try a little bit harder to get into heaven, to get eternal life, to have life in all its fullness that begins now, to be good enough. No, Jesus has done it all. It is finished. This sentence takes us back to John 19, 30. Jackie spoke about this last night. When he had received the drink on the cross, Jesus said, "It is finished." And with that, he bowed his head and he gave up his spirit. I just realized that giving up his spirit is an interesting phrase, but I'm going to save that for next Easter. I'm not going to get carried away. So Jesus said, it is finished. And that word finished is a funny word. It's not like, oh, yeah, it's done. That'll do for now. It's a word that cleverer people than me have told me is written in the perfect tense, which means it's about a past action. It's about something that happened in the past, but its effect is still happening now. So it might have happened 2,000 years ago. It was finished then, but it's still being finished now. It's complete today. This isn't a finish which staggers over the finish line. You know when you see people running marathons and they kind of stagger over them? Or if you're like me, you watch those YouTube videos of failed endings where people think they're going to win and then someone bursts in from behind. That always makes me laugh slightly. When you get them celebrating early on the bike, he's like, woo, I've won! And then someone goes past and beats him to it. But that's not like that. It's not like this kind of stagger or this early celebration or anything like that. This isn't an answer which doesn't really complete the assignment. This, of what Jesus done on the cross, is a total finish. We heard earlier in our testimonies from those being baptized that the death, the resurrection of Jesus 2,000 years ago has had a real effect, a tangible effect on those four people and the person tonight. And so many of us here can attest to the knowing of Jesus in our lives. We've met with him. He has changed our lives. It was a physical resurrection, a historical event. There's more written evidence that Jesus rose from the dead than there is that Julius Caesar ever existed. The 12 disciples went around. They changed from being 11 men hiding in a room scared to being 11 men going out and telling anyone that would listen, and lots of people that wouldn't, that Jesus is alive, and they all got killed for it. They wouldn't die for a lie. Jesus finished the work. This is no cry of defeat. This isn't Jesus going, oh, at last, it's finished. This is a shout of triumph. It's like game over. Game over, Satan. We've won. It's a victory shout. Sin is destroyed. Death is dead. It is finished. We read this in Colossians 1:19 as we come into land. God was pleased to have all of his fullness dwell in him. Jesus, completely and utterly God. Don't be under any illusion this morning that Jesus was a nice man who just went around being a bit like a hippie, telling people to love each other, and then got killed for being nice. He was killed because he claimed to be God. He annoyed the religious lot because he was speaking blasphemy. That's why they killed him. If he wasn't claiming to be God, they wouldn't have bothered killing him. That's why he died, because he said, I am completely and utterly God and completely and utterly man. God was pleased to have all of his fullness dwell in him, completely and utterly, and through him to reconcile all things by making peace through his blood on the cross. Jesus died for me and for you to reconcile us to God this morning. And maybe that's new for you. Maybe you're online and you're watching for the first time, and that's something we need to get our head around. How do we respond? The most important question we will ever answer is, who is Jesus? Who is Jesus? And so this morning, friends, where are you with him? Where are you with the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, who would come and die? Throughout Scripture, we see this message of redemption from Genesis all the way through to Revelation, that Jesus would come as one of us and die. Where's your heart's response to the teaching that Jesus says that he is truth in a world where truth doesn't really exist? What promises of God does the resurrection encourage you to stand on? That as far as the east is from the west, he's removed your sin. That whenever you come to him in faith, he will respond. That whenever you say, Lord, send your Holy Spirit, he will do so. How easy do you find it to listen to the enemy's whisper? Did God really say? Did God really say you're good enough to come to church? Did God really say you're forgiven? Did God really say baptism would make a difference? Did God really say that Jesus died for you? Well, we tell the devil where to go. We tell him to be quiet, and we stand on the promises of God. We stand on Jesus, the completer, who has completely removed our sin and who, in the words of the writer of Hebrews, is able to save completely those who come to God through him. So before we sing, we're just going to have a moment to be still. We're going to invite God by his presence to come, by his spirit to come. We're going to say the oldest liturgical prayer of the church, which is come Holy Spirit, because we want more of the presence of God this morning. And it might be as we do that, that you feel the Lord say something to you. You might, sometimes we feel physical stuff. We get tingly hands sometimes. That's because God is really big and we're little. And when he shows up, stuff happens. You might feel a bit emotional. That's okay. God made us as emotional beings. You might feel nothing at all apart from, I wonder if my lamb's done yet. That's also okay. God is in the normal as well. But let's just have a moment to be still as we remember that he is faithful and it is finished. So let's pray. Come, Holy Spirit.